Welcome to We're Getting a Dog.
Welcome back, everyone.
Podcast about dogs.
All about different dogs.
Their histories and whether or not we should have them.
Yes.
How's your week been?
Oh, man. Well, it's, you know, it's getting busy. It's spring.
Busier and busier.
It's not like terribly. Well, it's supposed to snow like tomorrow, apparently.
Oh, really? It's been in like the 60s. But
it's been in the 60s. It's been gorgeous outside. Happening. So, yeah, it's people have been out and it's been busy and,
yeah.
You know, just getting ready to gearing up for all the new stuff for other podcasts and, you know, just chugging along, really.
Yeah, sweet.
What about
some,
you?
I've had some car trouble this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got some big car expenses now.
Those are the worst.
Like struts.
Ugh. I had to have struts replaced once. And
I knew about the brakes, but I just somehow did not know about the struts. This is the first big expense I've had to do on my Prius C. So.
That's true. And you've had it like for
50,000 miles, a little more.
Yeah, so. You've had it for a while.
So. Prius Seymour will be okay.
Prius Seymour. I forgot that was the name of your car.
All right, so this week we're talking about the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Ooh, I love this breed.
Yeah, I walked one for a while, for a few years, and he passed away like a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunate. Spencer is such a great dog.
Yeah, I loved all the Snapchats I would get of Spencer.
Yeah, he got, I think he was 15.
So. Right, yeah, he was very old.
Oh, yeah.
Very great sweet, dog. Though.
Rest in peace, Spencer. So some of the basic facts on the Cavalier King Charles, they're 12 to 13 inches in height, about 13 to 18 pounds, and have a life expectancy of 12 to 15 years.
Wow. So, yeah, Spencer lived a very full life, it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do sound like they'd be a good, like, not small, but small, medium sized dog.
Yeah, definitely on the smaller side.
Sure.
Possibly good apartment dog.
Absolutely.
At least if you have some space, I think. Backyard walks. Here's the general appearance from the AKC. The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel is an active, graceful, well-balanced toy spaniel, very gay and free in action, fearless and sporting in character, yet at the same time gentle and affectionate. It is this typical gay temperament combined with true elegance and royal appearance, which are of paramount importance in the breed. Natural appearance with no trimming, sculpting, or artificial alteration is essential to breed type. So here's how they describe the coat as well. Of moderate length, silky, free from curl, slight wave permissible. Feathering on ears, chest, and tail should be long, and the feathering on the feet is a feature of the breed. No trimming of the dog is permitted.
Okay.
Specimens where the coat has been altered by trimming, clipping, or artificial means shall be so severely penalized as to be effectively eliminated from the competition.
Wow, so don't cut your Cavalier King Charles Spaniel's hair.
Hair growing between the pads on the underside of the feet may be trimmed.
You can only trim that, so...
Remember that with Spencer. He'd have to get his feet trimmed.
Sure.
Hair That's, between his paws.
Yeah.
He'd be sliding around the wood floors.
I remember those snaps, too.
Yeah. Always had to carry him up and down the stairs by the end anyway. So now for the colors they can come in. They can be Blenheim.
Blenheim?
I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that, because it's like the English version of like a German... place, it's Blenheim. And I think the German place is spelled differently, but it's rich.
It's very pretty.
It's described as rich chestnut markings, well broken up on a clear, pearly white ground. Oh, this name comes from the Battle of Blenheim in 1704. The Duke of Marlborough left to fight, and his wife stayed home taking care of a spaniel about to have puppies. This is the story of how the color got its name.
Mm-hmm.
And to soothe them both, she pressed her thumb against the dog's forehead. Soothe her and the dog having puppies.
Okay.
Soon after the battle was won, the puppies were born with red spots on their heads, which came to be known as Blenheim spots.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's the name of the color of the dog to this day. And that's the most famous, I think, coloring.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like the one I would... This is the coloring I think of when I think of this breed.
Yeah, that's what Spencer was.
Nice.
Next is tricolor, jet black markings, well broken up on a clear, pearly white ground.
Ooh.
Very cute. Looks like Zelda, the Pomeranian I had growing up.
Yeah.
I always like love tricolor dogs.
The little, like, dots of tan on their, like, right above their eyes.
Oh, yeah. And there's a ruby, whole colored rich red. And they're very cute. I always thought they were a different breed, actually. Ooh. So they're a different kind of spaniel.
I like those.
Yeah.
They look like mini, they kind of look like mini labs. Like, sort of. Not really.
Yeah, maybe like mini, like a Nova Scotia duck tolling retrievers. Definitely little, the same color.
A little smushed in a little bit.
Yeah. And they have black and tan. Jet black with rich, bright tan markings over eyes, on cheeks, inside ears, on chest, legs, and on the underside of tail.
Aw.
Oh, yeah. Very cute.
Very cute, yeah.
And I think that's the oldest color.
Oh, so that was like the original color of the breed was black and tan?
Yeah, going back to think they were just originally toy spaniels.
Sure. Okay.
Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/We're Getting a Dog or our website, WereGettingADog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show.
Let's get into the history. Let's start with King Charles I, King of England from 1625 to 1649. He was king during the English Civil War, lost the war, and was later tried for treason and executed.
Well, that's a life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, English royal drama. So the Commonwealth of England was established as a republic upon the king's execution, and that lasted 11 years.
Yep.
Then King Charles I's son, Charles II, took the throne in 1660. So yeah. Make up your mind, England. Wow.
That is like one little blip of British history that's really interesting is that for like a decade, they decided they didn't want a monarchy anymore.
And then went right back to it with his son.
Because it was terrible. Like
it was, yeah, some
like there was no
times.
Yeah, there
I
was,
think the Civil War has continued or some wars. At
well,
least, but.
I don't know if I remember this right, but I want to say there it just broke down even more into like who has the power, who has the say. And then eventually they were right, like, damn it, we need a king. They're like,
yeah,
we don't know
some
how
house
to do
of parliament
it.
That didn't yeah. last or house of something.
Yeah.
Cromwell didn't. I think he died, actually.
He was executed.
Oh.
He was executed.
God, England. Yeah. So in the background of all this drama were the royal pets of choice at the time, toy spaniels.
Mm-hmm.
In a painting by Anthony van Dyck from the mid-1630s, you can see toy spaniels with King Charles I's children, including Charles II.
Oh, children and dogs.
And you can see in this painting, they had like much, yeah, pointier faces and looked more
yeah.
kind of, I don't know, like small houndish almost. More like regular dogs, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I always longer feel legs. Though, like this is a common thing of painters is that some painters will paint the snouts kind of long and thin.
Oh, they actually did have longer, thinner snouts back then.
Okay.
Though. That's part of it.
See, I remember we did a breed once where the artist was like criticized for having painted the dog wrong.
Well, yeah, some painting, yeah. Some artists don't seem to work too hard on the dogs.
They're like, man. Nah,
background work.
This is about the queen. I always love, though, how, like, these children are posed like adults in a melodrama.
Yeah, Charles II, he looks so bored. So
the dog on the right, sorry to interrupt you, the dog on the right looked like it did something wrong, like it's feeling guilty. It's like, I pooped on this carpet. I'm
like he's scooting,
sorry.
Scooting around right now. So while these dogs were popular among royalty across Europe for centuries, King Charles II was a bigger fan than anyone. Everywhere he went, at least three toy spaniels followed on his heels. This is why they became known as King Charles Spaniels.
Okay, that makes sense.
King Charles II issued a decree that his dogs should be allowed in every public building, including Parliament. This decree is still in place in England today.
Really?
Yeah. That's what the source said.
So the queen could have her corgis follow her into Parliament? That's what I was thinking,
yeah. If it applies to, yeah, the royal dogs today.
I feel like this king was like, I decree my dogs are allowed anywhere because I am king and I say so.
So there was a lot of criticism that Charles II was more concerned with taking care of his spaniels than ruling the country.
I wonder where they got that.
Sounds like he was a little cavalier. Yeah, I found sources saying that that's why they're called Cavalier King Charles, because King Charles was so cavalier about being king.
Hmm.
But then, like, he had that nickname, but it was actually not. There was, like, a cavalier family.
I was secretly hoping that it was because the dog had a lot of swagger.
Oh, the cavalier is a reference to a monarchist party that supported the Stuarts, who were, like, the Charles, like, during the Civil War, that cost Charles I his head.
Right. And then
so, yeah, it's a monarchist group.
Sure. I was hoping it was because the dogs had style.
Well, can also take it that way. The name wasn't adopted till much later, so.
The cavalier part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, first they're just known as King Charles Spaniels.
Got it.
As time passed, the popularity of toy spaniels faded, and pugs became in vogue. In the 18th and 19th centuries, the spaniels were bred with pugs to give them flatter faces, domed skulls, and larger eyes.
Mm-hmm.
This type of King Charles Spaniel was largely dominant when England began holding formal dog shows for the first time in the mid-19th century. So a lot of people miss the old look of the breed had, like in the Van Dyck painting, or in a Sir Edwin Landier painting called The Cavalier's Pets. And this is another link for why they could be known as Cavalier King Charles Spaniels.
Right.
Because in the 1920s, wealthy American Roswell Eldridge offered prize money to British breeders who could show King Charles Spaniels the way they used to look.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, using the Cavalier's Pets as one of the references.
Sure.
Could be how name got established or associated.
Yeah.
Eldridge convinced the Kennel Club in 1926 to offer his prizes at Crufts for 5 years. £25 sterling for the best male and female dogs. This is how the Crufts catalog described the ideal dog for these prizes. As shown in the pictures of Charles II's time, long face, no stop, flat skull, not inclined to be domed, and with the spot in the center of the skull.
Okay.
Got that Blenheim.
Blenheim.
Blenheim. Spot. Yeah, I think it's Blenheim. I forget I was saying it before. But
Blenheim.
Yeah, I think it could it's be Blenheim. Who knows how the English want to say it?
Blenheim.
Maybe the English. They might know. But
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's always England.
I don't know. It is always England, though. Yes. this is very much a British dog.
Yeah, started right, yeah.
Born out of the rebirth of the monarchy in the beginning of the 17th century.
It's King Charles, so.
Yeah.
Breeders of King Charles Spaniels had worked for a long time to flatten the dogs' faces, so few were interested in going back breeding longer-faced dogs. Those who did share Eldridge's vision, though, assembled quickly, and the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel Club was formed in 1928, just 2 years after the prizes started to be given out.
Sure, okay.
So on the second day of Crufts in 1928, the first meeting took place. That year's winner of Eldridge's prize, a cavalier named Anne's son, was placed on a table as a living example. Other members brought all the 16th, 17th, and 18th century depictions of the breed they could find. The standard of the breed was written up then and there and remains almost identical to this day.
Okay, wow. That's
cool. He paints a picture with their Crufts. The dog just standing there for hours, probably laying down eventually.
Yeah.
Okay. When he's sleeping, it curls up like this. It took a while for the Cavalier to become a popular breed, but the Kennel Club recognized them as a separate breed from the King Charles Spaniel in 1945. And calves first came to America in the 1940s, but the AKC didn't recognize them as a breed until 1995.
Whoa, that's a ways.
And the thing, the King Charles Spaniel by the AKC is known as the English Toy Spaniel.
If you go to the AKC website, it's not called the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
No, the Cavalier King Charles is the King Charles Spaniel, though.
Oh, the original.
That's still like, a different breed. That's more related to pugs.
Right. At least they're called the English Toy Spaniel.
Yes, by the AKC.
Interesting. That is surprising, though, especially considering this is a very British breed. A lot of the breeds the AKC started with were all British breeds.
Yeah, I think the English Toy Spaniel has been in the AKC much longer.
Okay.
But they're not nearly as popular.
Got it. That just surprises me a lot. But oh well. I'm glad that there was a dedicated group of people that wanted to bring back its original look, because I think it is cuter with not a smushed in face.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I imagine it breeds better, although I think it's still brachycephalic.
Well, you know, we can't have everything, so.
Ever since 1995, they've only gotten more popular in the U.S., and now they're 17th in registrations.
Wow, that is a lot. That's a lot higher than I thought they would be. I thought they'd be maybe like 50th or something that. Yeah.
Very popular.
Wow, cool.
Very cute little dogs.
They are very cute. They also howl, which I think is extremely cute.
Oh, did you see the picture I had of the Cavaliers pets?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. I've forgotten what other picture there was. So now we're going to move on to the health. So Cavaliers can have a lot of different health issues.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know Spencer did. He had a lot of different issues and medications.
Sure.
He had some heart problems and I think hip joint problems. So they can have eye conditions like retinal problems, cataracts, patella luxation, hip dysplasia, middle ear infections, mitral valve heart disease, and a neurological condition called syringomyelia.
Okay.
Cavaliers can be screened for all these conditions and most live comfortably into old age. Owners should discuss potential health issues with breeders. Responsible breeders will health test all potential breeding stock.
Yeah. That's an important note, too. A lot of breeders, their best interest is to produce healthy dogs. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. At least most breeders. I shouldn't say all breeders.
But. Yeah, be the first concern, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. So. Do you know if there's like a breeder reference guide on the their kennel club site or?
Probably. Actually there was. I was using their kennel club site for research on their history.
Sure.
I know there was definitely a find a breeder.
Got it. Cool.
Link.
Absolutely. Most of those websites, like the breed club website, they'll have that stuff on there now. So
I think it was just CKCS. Yeah, CKCSC.org.
Longest acronym for a dog.
It's Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, and then there's another C at the end they have.
Club.
Club, of course. So onto the grooming. The calf's silky coat usually just needs brushing and an occasional bath. The ears should be checked weekly for infections, and the nails should be trimmed at least once a month, because they can crack and damage easily. As well as trimming underneath the paws.
Yes, because that's the only trimming allowed.
Don't trim anything. Spencer would also get trimmed. I wonder if he grew out more than most other Cavaliers. But
well, it is possible,
that is just
too,
for the breed standard. For
It's pretty common, too, when you have an older dog. You can trim them back more and more, so that way their fur doesn't become a problem.
That's true, yeah. It would get dirty and in the way for him. So calves enjoy a moderate amount of exercise. Just keep them on a leash or fenced in, as they're known to chase other animals or follow scent trails. Mm. Still like some hunting instincts.
So they're dogs.
Spaniels.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't talk much about spaniels. Got any more spaniel love?
We have another spaniel coming up this season. But it's my breed, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is.
I forget already. So calves are known for being very friendly and eager to please. So they're smart, and they train pretty easily. They rank number 44 on Stanley Korn's intelligence list.
Okay.
So it's like about the middle of the list.
Well, you know, you got to know what you're doing when you're following a king around. So
I guess so.
Especially into parliament.
Got to know what heel to follow. Where you are in the pecking order.
Fluffy, you're on the left.
Fluffy's out. So yeah, in the list, they're tied with the German wire-haired pointers, black and tan coonhound, and the American water spaniel.
were these working dogs at any point, or were they just pets?
No, not the toy spaniels.
That's interesting to me that they're so high up on the intelligence. I mean, maybe they were used to entertain too. That's very
maybe
possible.
For some, like, you know, small hunting jobs, I suppose, like little. I forget what spaniels even do, like little ratting things, I guess, if they're that little. But.
Yeah, they're. I mean, I don't know. I've not dug deep enough into the spaniel. Again, we have to
not
go
recently,
into
at least.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to listen through all the episodes. So that's all I have on the Cavalier.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I really like this breed. I think it's a great choice as an apartment dog. I think it's a really good, like, I don't know. I think they've got a great lifespan. They seem to have some life to them. They're not just like lazy-about dogs, you know?
Yeah. They're like very friendly dogs for even like the city. Mm-hmm. Seems like they could take more easily than some other breeds.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they say they're friendly with strangers too. But also eager to please their owners.
Mm-hmm. What was I going to say?
Were you going to say, boop, 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 dog news?
No, but I'm glad
good,
you did.
Good, because that's what I say.
What is the dog news?
Well, you may remember last week when we reported on the return of the Fur Rondi and the 26-mile dog sled race.
Mm-hmm.
Occurs. Well, this week, we have the 50th running of the Iditarod, a 1,000-mile race from Anchorage to Nome, Alaska. 1,000 miles.
Yeah, I forget that this is a thing.
It's like from Chicago to Boston.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how we should travel back to my family.
Dog sled.
Dog sledding. Next winter, we try to go back. If a flight's canceled because there's a storm all the way between Chicago and Boston.
Yeah. It's like, oh, don't worry. Our flights got canceled. But I found like 15 random sledding dogs.
Well, we got pet sitting requests from 15 different huskies.
So we're taking them on an adventure.
Got a lot of paperwork signed. Everyone's on board.
So the Iditarod is a very like long-standing tradition.
Yep, this is the 50th running.
Okay, yeah.
They had to cancel last year due to COVID.
Well, yeah,
but now they're back
for
this year.
Sure. But I mean, it's very iconic too to that area for sure. It's definitely something that's highlighted.
It lasts
like
about nine days.
Yeah.
Yes, so there's stops all between. Mm-hmm. Gets the whole state involved.
I remember learning about it.
Everywhere between Anchorage and Nome.
Yeah. I remember learning about it in like elementary school for some reason. I don't know why we learned about the Iditarod.
Yeah, I always remember hearing like reading stories about it, like little short stories in English.
Yeah.
Those anthologies.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
There were
a few
movies too that came out about it, like kids' movies.
Well, you know, it's an easy topic to get attached to because it's a bunch of dogs taking you on an adventure. I love that they all have boots on.
Oh, yeah. In that picture. So this is from the Associated Press about this year's running. There are 49 mushers in this year's race, including defending champion Dallas Seavey, who is looking to make history as the first musher to win 6 Iditarod titles.
Mm.
He's tied with Rick Swenson with 5 victories apiece. Win or lose, the 35-year-old indicated that this is probably his last race for a while, as he wishes to spend more time with his preteen daughter. Also in the race are 2 four-time winners, Martin Booser and Jeff King. And this is a little more information on the race I found from Iditarod.com, because I was interested in what kind of dogs are racing.
Yeah.
And here's what it says. Most of the mushers have Alaskan huskies. These are a mixed breed, or mutts. They're part husky along with other breeds such as border collie, setter, and hound.
Hmm.
The reason Alaskan huskies are favored by mushers is that they love to run and pull. They also have incredible drive and the endurance for long treks through the Alaskan wilderness. Yeah, and I really enjoyed the picture because you can see how like varied the dogs are.
Yeah, they all kind of look like they could be cousins of one another.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, but I really thought they'd all look the same, like just a bunch of Siberian huskies.
See, that's what I always assumed it was, too. It was Siberian huskies.
Yeah, no, one of them looks like a lab, kind of.
Yeah, and then the one, like the second one from the left, kind of in the background, almost looks a little more terrier in
the
face.
They all look like slightly different. They definitely look like huskies still. Mm-hmm. But yeah, different colors and faces and sizes.
They all look happy, though.
Yeah, the article also talks about how much the dogs seem to enjoy running. And how, you know, it's not too difficult to get the dogs to run. It's more difficult getting them to stop.
For sure. Well, I suppose when you start working in a pack and you know that you're all at that momentum together, it's probably thrilling for a pack of dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they do well in the cold, too. So they're accustomed to Alaskan winters.
Sure thing. So.
And they talk about the food they have to eat and how much to keep running that much. Very cool. Iditarod.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Definitely.
So that's it for Boop-a-Boop Dog News.
Well, that was an interesting Boop-a-Boop Dog News this week.
It's just dog news.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we end this week's episode?
Just thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a fun episode coming out on our Patreon in the next week. Ooh. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, wait around for that. Sorry, my phone's buzzing. My mom's texting me. but we hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of We're Getting a Dog. And join us next week for our next breed. And Dylan, why don't you take us out?
Remember to help out your local shelters however you can, whether you're donating, volunteering, fostering, or adopting, and help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked, and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at wgad@arcadiapodcastnetwork.com or on our Instagram @weregettingadog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.